Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Ruben.
And before we get started today, we want to just take a moment and talk about the biggest news that happened this week, and that's the murder of George Floyd. While there are a lot of issues going on right now, and a lot of fun things that we can talk about in the NBA, we want to just take a moment and say that we stand in solidarity with George Floyd after his untimely murder. His entire family, as they mourn the loss of a loved one, and all of the people that are fighting against racial and police injustice here in America and around the world. I just want to also take a moment and say that Black Lives Matter, and if there's anything that we can possibly do to be a support vector for anyone that's dealing with racial injustice, please let us know.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been kind of talking a little bit on Twitter, but, you know, I love you guys. You know, just be good to one another. It's a really, really crazy time. And with everything, like just this entire year has been nuts. So be good to one another. And again, if we can do anything, just let us know.
And also, one last thing, if you are protesting, whether it's here in Dallas or anywhere else, be safe. Take the proper precautions and be prepared. All right, so let's you know, take that somber moment and dig into a little bit of fun. The NBA is reportedly coming back.
Supposedly.
You know, reportedly, yeah.
Yeah. July 31st is the day that, you know, I can finally get to tweet good stuff again.
Yeah, I know. hopefully, it sounds like next week we'll really, really know for sure one way or the other. And exactly what those details are, but it sounds like from what we can tell, based on the reports that have come, is that July 31st is the date that they want to come back. And now it's just a matter of ironing out the details of how they want to come back. There's been a few different ideas proposed on how to do that, whether it's just start straight into the playoffs, do a couple of play-in type ways, or I guess everything is a play-in, technically. It's just like the most extreme version would be doing a 71-game season. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm super curious about, like, kind of, like, what the timeline is going to be, like, once things are solidified, which I guess, like, we'll find out next week, probably. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just, like, I want to know, like, how long, if there's going to be, like, a regular season still, if it's going to be just...
I know you want a regular season. At least, like, 3 more games in a regular season.
I know. I need just like maybe 2. Like, you know, I just need enough like to where I can see if I get that.
You get one more win. Literally, just one more.
Come on, guys. Like, just, you know, but it's just like I'm just thinking about just like how they're gonna do that. You know, if they do have a regular season coming back. Like,
yeah.
How many teams are gonna be invited? Like, how many? Because I mean, like, there are some teams. Like, I know some teams are still kind of, even if you're not fighting for a playoff spot, you're fighting for, not a wild card, you know, a better draft positioning and stuff like that. I don't know. I haven't had to look at like Tankathon or anything for a whole year. Mm-hmm. So I really don't care about it too much, but you know,
yeah,
you know, kind of seeing like, yeah, I just want to see like kind of like what happens and who, like who's involved, what the schedule's like, what the playoffs are like. Mm-hmm. Are they going to keep like, you know, the 7-game series for all rounds, or are they going to reduce it?
Well, look at what Michael Jordan said. And Michael Jordan said something pretty interesting. He's like, if we truly care about player safety, why are we going to play meaningless regular season games? Just let's go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And his team sucks.
That is true. Yeah. They don't really have any, you know, they aren't going to win anything anytime soon.
But you know what? Are the Hornets in the playoffs right now? I don't think they are. Let me go to basketball reference.
Can you check on basketball reference still?
Yeah.
Really? Oh.
Let's see here. No. Charlotte is the 10th seed in the East.
Do they have a chance of making the... they don't even have a chance, do they?
The 8th seed is 30-35. Orlando, Charlotte is 23-42. So no, they don't have any chance of making the playoffs. That's really interesting. I think it may have something to do from a financial standpoint of these teams that don't have a chance to make the playoffs. How much money are they going to make by flying their entire team and staff out to Disney World to play 3 to 8 games and then go back? Would they end up losing more money than they would make in that scenario?
Maybe, I don't know, man.
Maybe that's why... because there's no real fringe playoff team. There's no ninth seed. Well, Portland is the only ninth seed that would have stood a chance to making it, really. And even Bam is maybe the Pelicans and Sacramento. And in the East, Washington was 6 games out of the eighth seed. Yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, realistically, especially if it's a shortened season anyway, they wouldn't, even if it's a regular.
Yeah. And Portland was 3.5 games out of the 8th seed. So it's not like it was super close.
Yeah. If it was a half game or something like that, or exactly tied, mm-hmm. I think that's when it would be okay, this is interesting. But
well, I think that's why they talked about a 22 or 24 team,
round robin.
Yeah. Round robin play in type thing.
Permanent arc. Yes. I don't know, man. I just I'm excited that this is coming mm-hmm. back. There's a lot of talk about this being an asterisk season. I mean, when you really think, and I was actually listening to No Dunks, the Athletics mm-hmm. No Dunks, and they're talking about the whole asterisk thing. And it's well, when you think about it, every season has an asterisk. Last year when KD went down, against the Raptors, and their team started falling apart, that could be considered an asterisk. This is more just an even bigger supposed asterisk on a season, and it is what it is. I just want basketball back at this point, so I really don't care. Hopefully next week we have more news though.
Yeah, no, for sure. It would be really great to hear next week, kind of where we're going to be with everything. Something that's interesting when you want to talk about asterisk seasons, did you know that in the 1918 flu, that was the year that the Boston Red Sox had won the World Series? It was in the middle of the 1918 pandemic.
Really?
Yeah.
What? I did not know that. What the fuck?
Did you also know that in 1918, during the pandemic, one of the Montreal Canadiens died from the flu? And so they had to cancel the Stanley Cup Finals in 1918.
Holy shit! I did not know that.
Right.
I don't even know. I don't give a shit about hockey. That's crazy.
This is just some stuff that I've heard. That's hey, if you want to know about how pandemics have shaped sports in the past, look at 1918. So it's really interesting stuff. Whether you care about it or not, it's pretty cool. Well, I wouldn't say cool. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, what the hell, man? Did I know that?
Yeah. So we're doing our podcast format a little bit differently this week. Since there's not a ton of news, but we still want to answer questions from you guys every single week, what we're going to be doing is that news at the front end like we have so far, and then we're going to answer questions from you guys. And then after that, we'll take a short ad break, and then we will be introducing our fan of the week that we got to do a little bit of an interview with. And we're going to be doing that for the next 8 weeks or so as a lead up into the season restarting. That way you guys get a little bit of a fresh new thing without having to do multiple podcasts every single week.
Exactly. You know, so they might be a little longer, but
might be a little bit longer, but
something for everybody, I think.
Yeah, something for everybody. It gives you a chance to kind of like decide what you're enjoying more, whether it's the interviews or the news or the questions. There's something for everybody in our podcasts.
Exactly. So with further ado,
let's get into questions.
All right. So I asked today around 4 hours ago, which, you know, it's enough time to get some pretty good ones. So, all right. So first one comes from James, our friend James, of course. Have you read this one yet?
I have not. I didn't read any of the questions leading up.
Oh, shit. Okay. There might be one you need me to think about. Okay. But, okay. Would you rather have the vocabulary of 100 words or only be able to say 3,000 words a day, but it can be any words?
Ooh. That is good interesting. Question, right? Yeah.
That's a good question. I was like, damn it, James, you got a good one, finally.
I think the problem is that I don't know how large my regular vocabulary is currently. And so 3,000 words is not that many.
Yeah.
On top of the fact that I work for a living talking on the phone.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Right. So, this is tough. Just because I work on the phone and I'm hoping that a 100 word vocabulary is enough for me to work and parent appropriately, I guess I'm going to go with 100 word vocabulary, but I do not like it.
So, okay. So I'm assuming he's talking about just like, you know, verbal, like, you know, like us physically talking to each other.
You so, still know all the words. You can still communicate, but
yeah. So I'm going with the 3,000 a day.
Okay.
Because I guess my, you know, I'm a little different. So I work from home right now. We're actually technically I'm on summer break, but
yeah.
So I don't really have to talk too much if I don't want to. If I need to talk to anybody, it'd be my fiance, and I can just text her. You know, if I really need to.
Yeah.
I could literally just like have 3,000 words for like that for the one day that we do the podcast, and that's it.
Fair enough.
You know, I would just have to be really cognizant of how many words I'm using and stuff like
that. Really diligent. Maybe, yeah. Maybe you could have like a like an augmented reality like yes. glasses, and they would just do a daily word count for you.
Yeah, like yeah, oh yeah.
So every like word that you speak gives you a tick on the word count. The only thing is that would our pauses with ums and uhs and likes, would those count?
I'd be fucked.
I feel you, man.
So that's what I would go with, but I think it's because my situation is a little different than yours. So, yeah. You know, it's a good question though, James. God damn you.
The problem is that I think both would force me in my job to be terrible.
Probably, honestly, yeah.
Like, I think I have to use more than 100 words in my vocabulary just for my job.
Yeah, like, you'd have to pick, or you could be talking like a caveman, you know, just like, missing, like, is, like, the a's, the's, you know, stuff like that.
Could you imagine being in tech support and talking like a caveman?
Yeah, God, you'd be...
I'd be screwed.
You'd be laughed out. You'd be laughed out of your job.
Yeah. Thanks, good James, question. For making me lose my job.
I know, that's a good question. All right, let's see. Hayden Park asks, if you have to sacrifice an NBA player to end COVID, who would it be and why is it James Harden?
Say that one more time.
Oh, sorry. If you have to sacrifice an NBA player to end COVID, who would it be and why is it James Harden?
Okay. It's not James Harden.
Who would it be then? Who would you pick?
I don't know. Some random ass dude on a two-way contract. Sorry, random ass two-way contract dude. Actually, no. I pick an old head that's like almost out of the NBA anyway.
So like a Jared Dudley or like...
And I'm hoping when they say sacrifice, they mean like their NBA career is over.
Yeah, I hope they don't mean like you have to kill them.
Right. Because otherwise I would just keep COVID. No, I wouldn't. Fuck. I'm going to assume that we're not killing anybody here in this train scenario. So, you know what? I would sacrifice JJ Barea.
Oh, so he could have a nice
retirement. He could have a nice retirement. Wait, actually, you know what? Even better. I would sacrifice Devin Harris because technically speaking, he is still a free agent in the NBA and he has not retired.
Yeah,
I sacrifice Devin Harris.
Perfect. No bloodshed.
His NBA career is over. Officially, he has to retire, but COVID is over. Also, Devin Harris is not allowed to coach. Yeah. That's part of the rules too.
So I'm gonna go with your process of it, like also being like they just retired, nothing bad happens to them,
right?
Like, whatever, just because it makes you feel better about my answer. But I'm trying to think of like what teams we would face. Obviously, mm-hmm. to be a Western Conference, team like in the playoffs. My immediate answer would be like Kawhi.
Okay.
Just because, like, if we face in the playoffs, like, we don't have to deal with him anymore.
Wouldn't you rather pick, like, LeBron? Because he's older.
No, yeah, but LeBron's already on his way out. Kawhi's still, some time to dominate.
Fair enough.
So I would pick Kawhi in the short term.
Oh, okay. Like, so you're saying, like, they have to not play for the rest of the season, then you pick Kawhi.
No, rest of the retired forever.
Oh, man, really? Okay.
Because yeah. I don't want LA Clippers succeed.
wouldn't Paul George be a better answer? Because at least like you're not sacrificing the strength of the NBA as a whole, but you still give the Mavericks a better shot of winning. Like if you're gonna pick a Clippers player selfishly, wouldn't Paul George still be a better answer? Like Kawhi's the better player, but if we're sacrificing people, Paul George is the easier sacrifice.
He is, but I'd have to bite the bullet and take out Kawhi.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm going with Kawhi. All right, next question goes from Shakespeare. Oh, I love this one, bro. You're going to love this.
Okay. Ready?
Uh-oh. You're renowned archaeologist Dr. Indiana Jones, and you have just found yourself in a strange place. The Marvel Universe.
Okay.
A group of blaster-wielding, crime-fighting, flying superheroes need your help. Can you find all 6 Infinity Stones before Thanos does? You have from 2012 to 2018. Oh, but added. No one knows where they are. No one knows that there's two on Earth, one on Xander, one on Morag, etc. Only Dr. Jones and Thanos will be looking. I'd say no, bro.
I would say no for the very specific reason that if you are introducing yourself to a whole new universe, it's going to take you a lot of time to adjust, even if you are Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're talking, even if it took you only a year to adjust to the new rules and the new... And the fact that like you have to travel halfway across the universe to find half of these Infinity Stones... I'm gonna say no.
Yeah, I don't think you. I can't do it.
It took the entire Avengers all together to get close to finding them before Thanos.
And then Thanos still got them
all. And Thanos still got them all. If you added Indiana Jones to the Avengers and everybody was looking, then I give them a shot.
Yeah, but if it's only you looking, nah. Yeah. Like if it's only no. Good question though.
We'll find the two on Earth, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's but it's like not enough to take out Thanos. No. So let's see. Okay. The Don Luca asks, rank these three. John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, and Sean Connery. Take into account their whole careers as well as not just genre specific stuff.
Okay.
So I got Sean Connery at number one.
Okay.
So just because I've watched most of his movies.
Okay.
I got Sean Connery 1, Clint Eastwood 2, and then John Wayne 3.
Okay. I'm trying to look at this from a perspective of acting credentials or slash... I'm going to do acting credentials plus impact to film in general.
Okay. Cool.
In that case, I am going to put... because John Wayne's impact on film is larger than the other two combined, putting John Wayne number one.
Yeah, if we're doing it with your criteria, that makes sense.
I'm going to put Sean Connery number two. And then I'm going to put...
Eastwood.
Eastwood three, because he's a racist.
Okay, that's perfect.
Yeah.
There we go. Good question. Okay. We got a question saying, what are your thoughts on the potential 22-team playoffs?
I would rather have them have a play-in or just do the regular 16-team playoff. 22 yeah, teams all at yeah. once, I think a little bit too much.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why I take anything.
So. Oh, for sure.
But okay, so next question. Let's go to Jonas. Okay, this is a good one, dude. I think this was the one where I was like, you need to read this one and think about it. Because I did.
Okay.
Name the most random thing you own.
You go ahead and go first.
So thing that I personally own, it's actually not here. It's actually not my house, at my parents' house, but it's mine. So I have a stuffed dragon that I won at the state fair, Texas State Fair, when I was like five.
That's cool.
And I've kept that forever. So, you know, it's just one of those random things where it's like people wouldn't think that I would have that. So, yeah.
All right. I'm gonna fudge it a little bit here. No. I'm trying to think. I don't own a lot of random things, and that's because I own a minimal amount of things in general.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, the closest thing to a random thing that I can think of is that I own... And this is just going to be random for me, is that I own a print from Susan Kare of the original Macintosh logo in the Apple rainbow colors.
Ooh.
And it's a signed print that I bought for myself a few years ago as a birthday present to myself.
Cool. Very cool.
That's the only, like, random thing that I can think
yeah.
of. Because I don't think most people here would be like, oh, man, this dude that games on his PC all the goddamn time is going to have a signed print from the original designer of the Macintosh operating system. Yeah.
That's cool, man. All right, let's see. Next question comes from Jacob. Jacob asks, rank these three... in terms of pure athleticism,
mm-hmm.
all in their prime.
Okay.
Russell Westbrook, John Wall, D-Rose.
Russ is number one.
Yeah, I had Russ one, and then I had
D-Rose two, John yeah, Wall three.
Too. Yeah, that's exactly... Fuck, that was exactly mine.
Do we want to get into it a little bit, or do we just want to...
I saw all these guys.
Is that
yeah.
If we're... Because all three are point guards.
I think that's why he chose all.
Pure athleticism, Russell Westbrook is the most athletic point guard of all time. In his prime.
Yeah, he is fuck yeah, he was fucking insane.
We're not talking about how good they were in their prime. We're just talking pure raw athleticism.
Yeah, he was fucking stupid crazy.
He is the most athletic point guard of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah. So with D. Rose,
he was so athletic that he hurt himself all the time.
Yeah, he hurt me. Yeah, you know, like he just had crazy hops. All yeah. And I think that's that and speed are obviously like, you know, hops and speed are the mm-hmm. barometers for, you know, being super athletic, especially in the NBA. So,
yeah.
You know, he just had all those, but he didn't have, to me, D. Rose, he had that extra like notch he could turn up to.
Yeah, he had that one extra step.
But Russ had it on all the time. Like, you know, yeah. That's what the difference is for me with them too.
Those Russ KD, Oklahoma City Thunder are still some of the most fun teams that I ever watched, even as a Mavs fan.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. Then John Wall.
And John Wall, like, was an above average athletic type, but I don't think he was on the level of either of those two.
Yeah, he'd be like in a tier like right below them.
Yeah. I think. If they're like tier 1A, he's like tier 1A minus.
Yeah. You know, like he's up there, just not quite as, you know, quite as an athletic freak as the other two guys are.
Right. And what's funny is that it would be the exact same order if we were doing those guys today, too.
Yeah. 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 Cause I mean, you know, I mean, John Wall hasn't played in how many, you know?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Alvaro asks, okay, so you sent me a video. You saw a video and you wanted me to know, like, if we agree with the Mavs part. The video is about, like, what if the NBA had an expansion draft, you know? And, like, so basically it says, like, what players would we be cool with, like, releasing? Okay, or, like,
how many players are we releasing / how many players are we allowed to hold on to?
So, so he sent a screenshot, and which I was grateful for because I didn't want to watch it mostly. like, I would have watched it for, but you know, he was kind enough to send me a screenshot. So we're not releasing, but like, there's like four players we can't protect.
Okay.
So the four players that we didn't protect on the squad. So I mean, let me just list all the players. Okay. So it's all the players we have in general. So it's Kristaps, Tim, Dwight, Delonre, Maxi, Luca, Seth, Dorian, Boban, Justin Jackson, Willie, and Jalen. Right.
Okay.
Those are all the players.
Because we're assuming this is after the season's over.
Yeah. I'm assuming, I don't know, no idea. I didn't watch the video. So I'm just going off. Well,
I mean, any expansion draft would be after the end of the season.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, so out of those, the ones that were, the guys that weren't protected were DeLon, Boban, which hurt my heart, Justin Jackson, and Willie Cauley-Stein were the four that we just, so do you agree with that or do you not?
It depends, because this would assume that the season ends and Willie Cauley-Stein picks up his player option.
Yeah.
If that is the case, I mostly agree with it. I would probably protect Boban for depth purposes.
Yeah.
And because of the contract, I would unprotect Tim Hardaway Jr.
Well, interesting. Okay. Yeah, he's going to opt in on that
one too. Two reasons. So. Two reasons is one, his contract is large enough that most teams are not, an expansion team is likely to not want to have him. Number two, in an expansion draft, if he is taken from that protected status, I'm assuming that an expansion draft is going to happen before free agency. And that opens up that many more millions of dollars for the Mavericks to use either this year or next year in free agency.
So for me, so again, seeing Boban on there hurt my heart.
Yeah.
if I were to make a case to like protect him and then
leave someone else. I would unprotect Dwight Powell.
Fucking bitch, Austin, that was my answer.
Sorry. I forgot Dwight Powell was on our team.
No, so I was going to pick Dwight because obviously his contract.
Yeah.
And then see, he's already hurt. So, you know, he wouldn't be ready by the time season starts anyway.
But so, nobody would take him. Yeah.
You know, I'm cool with Justin going, sorry. Cool with DeLon going at this point, I'm sorry. Willie, like, he just wasn't here long enough for me to really care, so. You know,
well, he got to play in like 10 games before the season shut down.
Exactly. You know, and then like, yeah. So, yeah, it's a good game. That's a good question, though. That's a good.
Yeah, it's a very good question. That's something that we could go more in depth on at some point.
Yeah, we should actually. Let me see. Okay, Jennifer asks, and I'm adding a caveat to this.
But okay.
Jennifer asks, if any current NBA player not already a Maverick could become a Maverick, who would you like to see? And it cannot be Giannis.
Okay. I mean, it's going to be the one that I've always said, which is Anthony Davis.
I fucking do it, yeah. Anthony Davis, okay. So you had Anthony Davis. I have Bradley Beal, actually.
Bradley Beal, okay. Yeah. I'm assuming that this also constitutes us not losing anybody.
Yeah, I'm just in this scenario, we're perfect and can't lose anybody. So, yeah, that's exactly what I want to add, you know, is Brad. So.
Okay. Now, if we're talking, like, let's assume that we could get anybody on in the league and it cost us nothing, you're going to hate me. I would get Kawhi Leonard.
Fine. It's fine. I don't want to play against him. That's the only, you know.
But could you, cool with Kawhi. Could you imagine Kawhi on this team? Our wing depth would get it'd be stupid good. Could you imagine a pick and pop with Kawhi and either Luka or Kristaps?
Fun, dude. I think that'd be a good. That's a really good choice, actually.
Yeah, Kawhi would be really good on this team.
There are a lot of good choices that aren't even like Giannis. You know, Giannis is always like the big one, but there are a lot of guys who. Like,
the reason Giannis is a big one is because he's currently the best player in the NBA.
Yeah.
And because he has a soft spot in all Mavs fans' hearts because we feel like he should have been ours.
Exactly. You know, so it just makes sense for us to all want him.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Next question comes from Aiden. Aiden asks, do you think Kristaps has already hit his ceiling, or do you think he still has the unicorn in him and has more to show? Definitely has more to show.
Absolutely. I mean, just look at this season. This season is a perfect example of Kristaps didn't hit his stride until 5-10 games before the season halted.
Yeah, until February, basically.
Well, yeah, really until the Dwight Powell injury, which is sad to say, but...
I know. And then we moved him to the five, and it was like, oh, this all makes sense.
Right.
Like, you know. yeah, man, I just think, like, it's that and also the fact that, like...
This is his first time not being the focal point of an NBA team.
He has a much better cast around him, including, like, Luka. Not that Luka's around him, but, like, you know, he's another orbit, another planet, you know, in the system. The fact he has a coach, like, goddamn Carlisle, you know? So, you know, he hasn't even begun to get his potential. So
he has stability in an organization that he's never had since he became an NBA player.
Exactly. There's
a lot going on for KP that it was one of those situations where I think he took a small step back this year to take four steps forward.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I mean, it's just going to get better. Like this time off is a blessing in disguise because he can heal up and not to worry about, you know, having to see if he has to sit out or something like that
anymore. Exactly.
So, it's gonna be fun, dude. So
it is
when it comes back in July, hopefully. But
actually,
let's see,
just really quickly, I'm just thinking about this. The Kristaps Porzingis Knicks, did they even have a second player as good as Courtney Lee? Well, I mean, Courtney Lee was on that team. Never mind. As good as Maxey. Did they have a number two guy as good as Maxey while Kristaps was on the Knicks and playing?
I mean, defensively, probably not. I mean, offensively, like, obviously Carmelo, you know, was there
a little bit. So. That's fair. Melo was there for the first year, right?
Yeah, the first couple years, I think he was there. So, I mean, Melo would probably be the answer for that. You know, not defensively, but...
Defensively, no. Offensively, Melo. But Melo's and Kristaps' game do not mesh together at all. Even prime Melo.
Yeah, no. Yeah, because Melo's an ISO shooter. And, you know, for Kristaps, you need to move around the ball and get open shots. So, or let him go low and just dunk on everybody. But, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have one more question.
Okay.
This comes from Luka Doncic News. He asks, and this is, I don't know, this is kind of personal, but any advice for frequent anxiety attacks?
Man.
So for me, especially like kind of like right now, everything's going on and stuff like that. Some other stuff in my personal life going on. And I just watched Zombieland, so I haven't stuck in my head, but, so I watched Zombieland recently and the whole role of just like taking a break and just like appreciating the little things, you know, like does wonders for me. Just to, like, slow things down, like just appreciate, oh, like I, you know, had water, you know, just something like nice, just good things that happened to me that day and stuff like that. So, you know,
yeah,
it's kind of those things that I do to kind of do that. And I also do like breathing stuff where I just like I wouldn't say meditation, more just like breathing exercises.
So my suggestion was going to be as hokey as it sounds, meditation, but it depends on how you classify meditation.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the spiritual aspects, I don't adhere to that. But just mindfulness and mindful breathing and just thinking of just being in your own moment for a moment is really, really nice. I would say a cold shower. It sucks for the first 30 seconds, but after that, it feels amazing and super refreshing. Take a cold shower for like, you know, 2-3 minutes.
Yeah, and I think another one that I would recommend, my anxious stuff isn't like as prominent as some other people, but like I know for some people, like actually like having a counselor to go talk to is really good. Even like if you think medication may help, you know, like again,
absolutely.
Like I'll talk to a counselor first and be like, hey, like, you know, here's my, you know, you gotta talk to someone who's a professional and just
Obviously, you know, these are things that help us. They won't necessarily help you. One other thing that has helped me a lot has been getting off of social. Like, I still hop on Twitter every once in a while. Obviously, right now, in the middle of everything that's going on, I'm personally on it more. But I have all of my social media notifications completely turned off. So there's no way for Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, anything like that to send me a notification. And that helps anxiety a lot. Just knowing that you don't have to wonder like when that next social media endorphin hit is going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's it on questions, Ruben.
Yeah, man, that's it.
Okay. So just so you guys know for next week, like I said, you know, we're doing things a little bit different here until the NBA season comes back, especially now that we have a more firm idea on when it is. But if you want to send questions, you know, send them over on Twitter. That's where we get 99% of them. But if you want to send any more, you can always send them to podcasts@mffls.com as well, if that's a little bit easier for you. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick ad break, and then we are going to have our first fan podcast, or our fan interview.
All right, guys. See you guys later.
All right. Also, 1312. I'd also like to take a moment to shout out the network that helps us distribute our show, Armchair Media. Armchair is a collection of over 50 podcasts, including ours, trying to localize the sports world just a little bit more. We've been with them for a few months now, as you know, and we've really enjoyed our time growing our audience alongside theirs. Starting on June 1st, BetOnline will serve as the title sponsor of Armchair, as well as our show. This will open up the possibility to develop merchandise lines, as well as potentially host live events once we return to a semblance of normalcy. With NASCAR, UFC, and golf coming back, BetOnline has hundreds of games and events to bet on. They have live and simulated sports, as well as a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge that you can enter for free. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device to check out the action. BetOnline is your online wagering solution. In addition to BetOnline coming aboard, though, Armchair will now serve as the host network for the world's largest skateboarding podcast, The Nine Club, hosted by professional skaters Chris Robinson and Kelly Hart. The Nine Club talks every week with the biggest names in skating, and they're on social media at The Nine Club. To see all these things Armchair, search Armchair Media wherever you get your podcasts. Also, check us out on Armchair's website, armchairmedianetwork.com, and their social channels at Armchair Media.
Hey guys, this is Ruben with another fan pod. Today we have my friend Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, man. You know, as of this recording, live sports in the U.S. isn't back. I understand that today is the first day that Bundesliga in Germany is back, which is cool. I like soccer, so that's fine for me. Yeah, man, how have you been doing?
Doing good, man. You know, staying home, playing a lot of video games, same as everyone, you know.
Yeah, dude, it's been a trip, like, this entire time. Like,
it's been a wild time, man.
Like, this was my first semester as a teacher, And
oh no,
yeah, I was literally in the classroom for a month, and then they were like, "Hey, guess what? You know, we have to be out for the rest of the school year." So I was like, "That sucks." Okay, like,
yeah, that's a curveball right there.
Yeah, exactly. I was like trying to learn how to be a teacher, and then trying to, like, you know, talk to, you know, like, build a rapport with, like, the kids and their families, and I'm just like, this sucks, dude. So it's one of those things, though, that I guess we all have to deal with right now. So
yeah, not much you can do with it.
Oh yeah, no. I'm happy that you're safe and happy that you're, you know, healthy. I'm assuming you don't have it. Or you haven't had it.
No, yeah, I've been lucky enough to dodge it so far.
Yeah, man. So what kind of games have you been playing since you mentioned that you've been playing video games?
Started out grinding 2K, but there's only so much of it I could take, you know?
Yeah.
So switched over when Warzone came out. And I'm on PC, so I kind of switched between that, Apex, Valorant's a new one that came out, so just kind of hopping all around.
Okay, yeah. I play on PS4, so I'm just like, and I'm actually trying to build a PC right now. Like, I'm kind of saving up money and just like putting it away just so I can buy like the good stuff, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
So I don't really know all the specs or anything like that yet. I just like, I have a friend who builds them, so I'm just like kind of taking his recommendations, and I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'll save for that. And then I think we agreed that, like, I would drop off all the parts on his front porch and then, you know, like, wait a little bit and he'll give it back to me, like, you know, built in, like, 2 weeks or whatever. So hopefully that happens this summer.
Yeah, dude, that's how I got my first PC. I worked with a guy and he was like, you should do that. I was like, okay. Yeah. Built it all for me, threw it together. And once I really got into it, dude, I haven't touched my PS4 in so long. Outside of, like, 2K.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you go to PC gaming, man, it's a whole different world.
I mean, if PC gaming got MLB The Show, I would be all over that. You know, I wouldn't even have a PS4 anymore, because that's mostly what I play it for now. Is like I finished, like, God of War 100%ed, you know, Spider-Man 100%ed, like, some of the exclusives of, like, 100, you know, I've either finished them or, you know, was like, oh, I don't like this anymore. So,
yeah.
But MLB The Show has been, like, the constant. That's the reason why I even got back into PlayStation, actually, like in like 2012, I think, because I was Xbox for a while, like 360 for a while, you know. So
yeah, The Show is hard, dude. I tried playing it. I'm not a big baseball guy, but I was like, I'll get into it, and that game gets you frustrated,
bro. I'm like, okay, so I've told Bryce Patrick about, because we both like baseball, we both play the game, and like he's still ducking me on playing like live with each other.
I don't know. Yeah.
So I keep asking him. He's like, no, not yet. Anyway, so I've been playing it. I'm actually getting really good at it, dude. Like, I can actually see the ball, and I'm like,
oh damn.
Like, I got really good at it because I used to play like growing up, and then my dad still plays. So, like, I've had before quarantine, like, me and my dad played a couple times, and he's like, this isn't that hard. Like, the ball's moving really slow. And I was like, you don't understand. Like, you've seen live pitches, like, way more than I have. Like, you know, like, how fast the ball is going, you know? So tell me your story about how you became a Mavs fan.
So my dad was born in Dallas, but he's an Army brat. So he was moving around everywhere, but he kind of like stayed central, like he stayed connected with Dallas sports. So I kind of grew up just Cowboys fan, Mavericks fan, Rangers fan, stuff like that. But I really got into it actually 2011 championship season, because I was mainly NFL back then, but then I kind of got into the Mavericks. So got to watch that playoff run, and then been diehard Mavericks ever since.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. How old are you, by the way?
It's 23.
Okay, cool. All right, so you're, yeah, I got a few years on you. I was born in the 90s, early 90s. So.
Oh, yeah, you got a couple.
Yeah, but that's cool, man. Like, I feel like a lot of people, like, were, like, you know, kind of casual fans until, like, it was like, oh, we actually have a chance to like not burn ourselves.
Yeah. I'm like, after like seeing the Mavericks and being so diehard now, I'm so glad I didn't go through 2006.
Dude, it was terrible.
I'm so glad. I don't know if I could have handled it. Bro, like I told you, I'm not even a big baseball guy, and I'm still salty about the Rangers World Series.
Oh, dude. Oh my. Okay, like, so those two things are like, obviously, like the big like sports things to me, like growing up, right? Like,
yeah,
I was in college whenever 2011 happened, so I was there. I was in Denton for both the win and the loss. You know, the big win, man. And the big loss.
Yeah.
So the big win was awesome. Like, I snuck into a bar, like, you know, like, because I was 20 at the time, snuck into a bar. You know, like, had, you know, I had a couple of drinks, paid for my drinks, obviously. And then, like, literally, like, when, like, the final buzzer, like, rang, like, that was it. Like, literally, like, no one was caring, like, who was of age and who wasn't. Like, it was bad. And then for the Rangers, I was still underage. didn't go to a bar, but I went to a party where they were showing the game. And, you know, we're all like, okay, cool. Like, let's try to go ahead to Academy. Like, we're going to get the, you know, the championship shirts and all that stuff. And literally, yeah. Like, I didn't go because I wanted to watch the end of it. So, like, my friends had gone. And I'm watching the game. And, like, literally, like, the second, like, Cruz, like, fucks up, I'm like, okay, let me call everybody and be like, we could be here for a while. So, you know, and then obviously Game 7 was not very memorable. So, but yeah, man, in 2006, I was in high school, and that's kind of like, I was already a pretty big Mavs fan, but at that point it was like, okay, like, it's time to be a typical teenager and like jump on the bandwagon and like, here we go. Like,
yeah.
You know? So, that sucked. I remember talking about it. Like, I remember school being out like during the finals and my friends being like, oh, like you're texting each other or whatever and be like, hey, like this sucks. Like, you know, I can't believe, you know, Dwayne Wade can get like 150 fucking free throws and stuff like that. Like, it is not fun. So what is your favorite Dirk or Luka moment so far?
One of each, or I pick one?
You can pick, do one of each, or you can pick one. Doesn't matter.
Dirk moment, I went to his final game. That was incredible.
Oh, I was
the atmosphere. Yeah. Like, called into work, I was like, I gotta go. Talked to my girlfriend. I was like, we're going to this game. Like, I don't care what's happening, anything. I was like, we're going. So went to the game, you know, hell of a game. Jamal dropped 50, Dirk got a dunk, all that. So it was like the perfect send off for him. So Luka, though, I was actually at the Zion game right before the quarantine happened. And
I was at both of those games, dude.
Oh, crazy, man. Yeah. What's craziest about that game is that my dad and I, my dad splurged because it was for my birthday, and we got suite tickets. Ooh. And we're watching the game, and a few minutes into the first quarter, who walks in but Michael Irvin? It sits down like two seats away from us.
Holy shit. That's
and awesome. I was just like, my dad's the biggest diehard Cowboys fan. I was like, Dad, you're not going to believe who just walked in. He's like, who? He turns around, he goes, no way. So got to watch that game. But Luka crossing up Drew, that was really clean because, you know, it was OT trying to ice the game.
Yeah.
And even though Maxi missed, Luka was like, just seeing Luka hustle, hit the rebound back out. I mean, it was just crazy.
Seeing Maxi lock up Zion is one of my most underrated like favorite parts of the season so far.
Yeah, dude, I was bugged after the game, and my dad was asking me. He was like, "Why is this not being talked about more?" Because, you know, everyone's like hyping up Zion, and it was like, you know, Maxi just kind of annihilated him. Him and Porzingis both were locking him down because he was just trying to bully ball him, and that's why I get really upset whenever I see Maxi in any trade rumors because I'm like, y'all don't understand.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I was like, y'all need to watch the Mavs game. I was like, no, especially the contract he's on.
Yeah, him and Dorian are on such friendly contracts, which is insane. Because I really thought I really thought Maxi was gonna leave. I thought he was gonna leave in free agency. Like, I thought he was gonna go get his bag, and I was like, okay, that's fine. Like,
yeah, whenever I saw him and Dorian's contracts, I was like, I can't believe we got him back for this much money.
That's so good.
And it wasn't like a 1 year deal either.
Yeah, I know, it's like, what, 3 years, I think? So it's like, it's a good chunk of time, which is great. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I didn't know if the internet cut out or not. Let's see. Ah, here we go. So what's your outlook for this team if we come back this season, or because again we're recording during off time, or next year or whatever? What's your outlook for our team?
Man, it depends on if Porzingis can keep doing what he's doing. If they can keep running him at center, I think we got a good chance of a good. It really depends on the first round matchup, because I heard on a podcast before. I was like, and the Clippers matchup is terrible. So it really is like, are we going to get the Clippers, Denver? Like, that's big. Cause if we get anyone else other than the Clippers, I think we can get to the second round. Just the way the Clippers played us throughout the regular season, that was really tough. But I have high hopes. I think Porzingis, you know, the more he gets comfortable, Luka's getting in better shape. Everyone's fitting in their roles. It's just the injuries, man. Luka's wrist for the last month of the season. Every time he got a rebound or got hit, he was grabbing it. So if they can stay healthy, I don't see why they couldn't make second round this year and next year, depending on free agency. You know, sky's the limit for them. They keep growing like they do.
Yeah. So those are very good takes. So you're gonna be the first person who gets to experience answering questions that we had to answer. Because a bit of the podcast that I like a lot is that I really like to have fan input. So just like people asking questions or people giving us like comments, concerns or whatever. Like, I appreciate all of it. So I collected, about 5 questions, and I'm doing about 5 questions each now, of just random questions that I picked out from people from Twitter and stuff like that, that we've had to answer. So this first one comes from Mavs Network. He asked us, if you had to pick one video on YouTube to get a laugh out of your friends, what do you show them?
I might go OG. Achmed the Dead Terror still gets me.
That's a good one. Okay, yeah. That's a good one. Let's see. Okay, Tyler Mavericks asks, other than obvious players like Rondo, who is your least favorite Maverick of all time?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I know, I had to think about this one for a while. I had to go old school with this one, though, when I answered it.
Man, God, Rondo is rough. I was so hyped for Rondo, too. I'm still salty about that.
I know. But we got Dwight out of it, so that's
whatever. Yeah, that's true. That's what I like. That's a saving grace.
Yeah.
Man, I'm trying to think back. Because I think I blocked him out. I think I blocked him out of my memory. He's my least favorite because of how he left, but OJ Mayo, I'm a little salty about that one.
Okay, I think that's fair.
I think Rick did a lot of really good stuff with him, and like kind of with Aminu, I was kind of salty at him too, and not about like how they were with the Mavericks, but how they left. I understand secure the bag with Aminu, we couldn't pay him, but OJ, I was like, and he was saying he was going to resign, and you know, how Carlisle does revitalize his career, got him in a good system, put him in a place to succeed.
Yeah,
and then he just dipped out. I was like, eh, whatever, forget that guy. So
I think that's fair, man. It's fun. It's crazy because I remember OJ Mayo just being like an absolute all star for like half a season.
Yeah, dude, I remember him like going 1-on-1 against like Kobe or something. Like, yeah, bro. Bucket for bucket, dropped like almost 40 points, and I was like, what?
Yeah, he was really good for a while, so I was like, okay, this is cool. Like, we got ourselves another all-star. Sweet. And then he fell off, man. Like, it's sad.
That was really sad. When I saw, like, he was, in, like, suspended indefinitely from NBA, I was like, man. I was like, I was just thinking back to, like, you were saying, him going off for half a season. I was like, what could have been?
Oh, that really does suck. That's sad. All right, let's see. My friend of the podcast, She's a Maverick, asks, what is your favorite dessert?
Molten chocolate cake from Chili's.
Oh, dude, that's a good one.
It's always solid.
My fiance loves that damn thing.
it's always good. Like, I've never had a bad chocolate cake, molten chocolate cake from Chili's.
Dude, we have to get it every single time we go. Which is that's why I'm kind of glad quarantine is like, you know, we can't really go and enjoy it in seats yet. So,
yeah.
It's so filling too, man. Like, I have to like, because I know we're going to get it. So like, I have to either like put like half my food aside because it's so damn filling, or I have to like not eat it basically. And then she takes like half it home or whatever. And I still don't want it because I don't know. I have a weird thing about like leftovers generally. So I just can't do it.
Gotcha.
Let's see. Okay. So Lucifer asked this, but I'm going to change it up because I know the answer you're probably going to pick. If you could add a Mavs player of the past to this team, who would it be? And it cannot be Dirk.
I'm trying to think of what we need. This one would be Nash.
Nash? Okay.
Maybe throw Finley in there. I think Finley would be interesting to see.
Oh, Finley today's NBA, that'd be fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think that'd be something to see. And I would like to see, you know, he's a good balance between Luka and Porzingis, I think.
Okay, yeah.
And, I'd like to see that. I think it'd be interesting. Probably not the best pick, but one I'd want to see.
I mean, that's a good one, though. I'm trying to remember who I picked for this one. I think it was Terry, who I picked.
I was gonna pick Terry, but I thought that was too easy. Like with Dirk, I was trying to go off the wall with it a little bit.
Yeah, so usually during these questions, like, we get so many of them, and I try to go through all of them. So it's like my brain's just like, okay, real quick.
Yeah.
Which one? So I'm like, Terry, okay, like Marion, okay, whoever. Like, yeah. I do think Sean Marion would actually be a really interesting one. Like in today's
NBA, yeah, like, he would be like Prime Marion, like Phoenix Marion?
Dude, Prime Marion, holy
shit. Oh my god, he would be insane. He would, I need to go put that on 2K and see how that goes out.
Yeah, that's a good experiment to do, man.
Yeah.
Oh man. Let's see, okay. And the last question I have today is, Mark Pullen asks, if you eat it, I don't know, some people don't, but whatever. What's your favorite Whataburger item?
I get the double Whataburger and add some avocado to it.
Ooh, avocado. What?
Yeah. Chipotle got me on that avocado. Yeah, I didn't know either. Whenever I went to Whataburger, I saw avocado. I was like, I got to try that. So yeah, now every time I get avocado on my burgers there.
Wow, I got to try that, man.
That's it's not even bad. Like, Chipotle is like expensive for it. I think it's like 70 cents extra.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's a little bit, but it's not bad.
I mean, it's funny too, because, the whole reason why that is because Americans keep buying up all the avocados and they can't make enough of them
in Mexico. So they gotta jack it up.
It's like, I know this because I have a cousin who works at one of those like farms or whatever in Mexico. So he's like he'll be on a Facebook messenger and be like, hey, like, by the way, avocados are this much this week, and I'm like, got it. I don't know why you know that, but thank you. Like,
thanks for the info.
And I was like, cool. Like, so she's like, make sure to buy avocados and, you know, the story. I was like, that's okay. Like, I got it. Like, thank you.
Your avocado dealer right there gave me the best price.
But yeah, man, it's been really fun having you on, dude. You know, I love talking to random people and just like kind of get to know them and stuff like that. So this has been and especially now, right now, like, I feel like we all kind of need to be together, you know?
Yeah, some solidarity.
One way or another. And just, like, it's good to have, like, more Mavs fans on. And I know, like, the fandom has grown a crap ton. Like, I've gained, like, I think the Reddit Mavericks account has, it's gained, like, 6,000 in the last, like, year and a half, which is crazy.
Luka Mania, man. It's a powerful thing.
I know, Luka, then KP, and then we're good. So it's, like,
yeah,
you know, hopefully we have, some kids right now who are like, oh, like, yeah, the Mavs are going to be my team forever. And just like, yeah,
right. Get them in now.
Yeah. So they can't leave later. But
right.
Are we shaming? But yeah, man, do you have any questions for me or anything you want to know or anything, man?
Nah, man. Thanks for having me on. It was, you know, it was a lot of fun. I always enjoy talking Mavericks basketball and everything else, you know, random questions and stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Do you want any, you have anything to plug or anything, like, you know, your maybe your Twitter ad or your Xbox handle or anything?
Nah, man, I'm good. I won't plug anything. I appreciate it though.
All right, man. Well, in that case, you stay safe out there, and I will see you on the timeline.
All right, man. Appreciate it. You too.
All right, later, guys.